Hello and welcome to Flutzes and Waxels, a figure skating podcast to satisfy all of your skating news, analysis, and recap needs. I'm Mary Margaret Mertzos.
And I'm Alicia Mertzos, and we're sisters with a lifelong love for figure skating, practicing, watching, and discussing. So let's delve deep into what's happened in the skating world this week.
So we've already discussed the first half of Autumn Classic, and this is kind of the, well, second half-ish. This is mainly the dance recap episode, because you know we love a dance event.
There were three men!
Yeah, it's disappointing that that was all we had here. This was supposed to be a full-on challenger men's event, but right away, the withdrawals started coming.
From, like, just, the day the entries were announced, people started withdrawing, and it did not stop until like a week before the event.
Yeah.
Until we had last minute withdrawals, including one on the ice.
Yeah, we were, when the competition started, we were supposed to have five Canadian men. Nam Nguyen withdrew before it even started, although I guess last minute enough that they still, you know, called his name on the ice. I'm not sure what's going on with him. Hopefully it's not an injury or anything. And then it kind of looked like Samuel Anger injured himself, like, on the warm-up. Because he was out on the ice and, you know, talked to the referee and bowed when they called his name and then left. So I'm assuming that means...
And the way he skated himself, off looked like he was hurt. So hopefully it's nothing serious. Glad he withdrew if he hurt himself even a little bit.
Exactly.
Because this competition was not worth injuring yourself more.
Yeah. It's a shame that we didn't even get to see, you know, many Canadian nationals, never mind an international. But it happens, so we'll talk about it very briefly because there's not much
to discuss.
There's
only three of them.
Yeah. Our winner here was Conrad Orzel, who had a pretty good outing, particularly in the short program. He is going for full-on technical difficulty with triple axel and two quads in the short program, and he got them done.
Yeah.
Some, you know, landing quality issues, but it was a pretty good outing. And I think performance-wise, pretty solid as well.
I don't want to get my hopes up because Conrad does this to us all the time. Yeah. Where he has, you know, a day where the jumps are going pretty well and the performer in him really comes out. And then I get excited and then the next competition is not repeated.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you're going for technical difficulty that is still pretty new and
inconsistent.
And, I mean, that's been the case with him for a while. And to be fair, that's the case with a lot of men skaters. He was, I think, similar in the jump success in the free skate. But for me, he's a better short program skater in that the performance comes out more when there's fewer jumps for him to get around. The free skate was a lot of skating and jumping and not as much performance. Whereas at least the short program, I felt, okay, we're performing a little bit here. It could be more, but it is also more than I've seen from him at certain other events in the past.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem for me with the free skate was just the stamina.
Yeah.
It was really obvious that he did not have the stamina to get through a clean free skate.
Yeah. And it is early. And also, I mean, this wasn't much of anything at the end of the day.
He was able to kind of phone it in a little bit.
Yeah, he won pretty easily by like 35 points. You know, it's a good test run.
Yeah.
It was not a disaster by any means. It was not, you know, a big wow moment where you come out and say, consider me for the Canadian Olympic team. It wasn't quite that, but it was far from a disaster.
Yeah, what he did was say, you've got three guys who are all competing for Olympic spots, and then I'm next.
Yeah. And give me a four continent spot.
Exactly, especially now that four continents isn't in China.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get a four continent spot.
I mean, we'll see where it winds up, slash if it winds up. Yeah. Hopefully it does.
But I mean, the U.S. probably bid for it. It's going to happen.
Yeah. We'll wait and see, though. So Conrad ran away with this men's event. And then we had Bennett Toman finish in second and Beres Clements finish in third. And both of these guys, I think, are at a similar stage where they're both pretty young, up-and-comers, working on adding more technical difficulty to the programs. And it was pretty hit or miss here.
Yeah, they both had kind of a rough time with the jumps this weekend in both programs.
Yeah.
And
some really well-executed ones, and then some disasters for both men in both programs.
Yeah. it's what I expect.
Yeah.
Out of like a domestic Canadian men's event.
Mm-hmm.
If our top three guys aren't there, this is kind of what I expect, which isn't terrible.
I mean, not great. Yeah, I mean, there have been so few competitions for Canadians, but yeah, particularly this past year and a half, that just taking this opportunity to have a competition experience with an international panel of judges,
yeah,
it's worth getting out there. I think both of them can definitely improve from here and hopefully will by the time we get to nationals. And they're both still quite young, particularly yeah, Beres Clements. He withdrew from the next gen competition mm-hmm, after the short program, and clearly, you know, he's okay to go.
Yes.
Since whatever happened at that next gen event a month and a half ago-ish. And they both have really, you know, a solid base to work from. I think they just both need work on incorporating the big jumps into the program.
Yeah. 'Cause
that was where both of them faltered.
And also the stamina, and then pulling it all together with the performance.
Yeah.
It's not an easy task.
Mm-hmm.
We expect figure skaters to do more than should be humanly possible.
Yeah.
But that is the standard in terms of being really competitive at the international level.
Yeah, exactly. But that was the men's event.
That's it. Let's talk about dance.
Yeah. This was a really fun dance event. It was also smaller than it originally started out, but I think a lot of really great skates here.
It was a good time. Yeah. I had fun.
Small but enjoyable. And of course, our runaway winners here were Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier. I think, as expected, unless Papadakis and Cizeron had stayed on the entry list, which they withdrew a while ago.
Yeah.
I would have been curious to see that head-to-head, but we'll have to wait for that.
It's been so long since we've seen Papadakis and Cizeron. When they eventually make their return, it's going to make things very interesting.
Exactly. But these two came out ready to go with their Olympic programs, and I think two really solid programs that show off two totally disparate sides of them and their skating.
I love both of these programs.
Yeah.
The rhythm dance is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They went full Piper and Paul camp.
Well, they're skating to Elton John and not hiding it and not being ashamed of it, which I think if you're going to go something campy and a little cheesy, you got to lean in hard.
Bright orange jumpsuits with flare legs and feathers.
Uh-huh. Rainbow feathers and sparkles and giant like chest cutout.
Yeah.
Like,
they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And they're really good at this kind of like campy fun rhythm dance,
and it's I think a good offshoot from what they did last time. The Midnight Blues was the pattern where it was full-on disco and a lot of fun, and this is similar but different enough that it's an entirely new program while still, you know, being in that wheelhouse, because that was a really successful rhythm dance or short dance at that time for them in 2016-17.
And also a style that not many teams can pull off.
Yeah.
There are some other teams trying disco this year, but Piper and Paul are the ones who, for me, are the best at disco.
Well, and we'll see. Will anyone have flashier costumes in the rhythm dance at the Olympics? Place your bets now.
Please try.
Yeah, I would love to see some competition for flashiest rhythm dance outfit. Somebody give Piper and Paul a run for their money.
As Patrick suggested, best costume category for this season's Waxies. They're coming back. Assuming we actually have that category, because we have to decide on categories at some point. We're going to be fighting over who gets to nominate this set of costumes.
And in terms of, you know, skating-wise, they look totally ready to go. They're, you know, no silly mistakes or anything here, which is always nice to see.
Yes.
Hopefully we continue that all throughout the season. I always have that little worry in the back of my mind, but it's been a while.
After those couple of seasons where they were just constantly making dumb mistakes, they haven't in a good while now.
Mm-hmm.
I would like for that to remain in the past forever.
Yeah.
Because when they skate well, they skate really well.
And I mean, you can see they're really showing off the power, the closeness of their skating in both programs, but especially the free dance. They're really showing off how close we can skate together with speed and good matching free leg lines.
Yeah.
And
and it's, confidence and yeah. precision.
Yeah. The free dance as well is, again, in a similar vein to successful programs of yeah. the past, but still its own thing, which I think it's really hard to walk that line. And a lot of skaters and teams, whatever discipline, will either repeat a past program yeah. or try and
recapture
the success of something where it's, you know, this program 2.0. And this, I think, walks that line really well, where it is still new, but it feels reminiscent of successful programs yeah. of the past without being the same as that yeah. program.
And I do think that some people were tweeting at us and just in general about this program not feeling as emotional as both sides now, their last free dance. You all said that about that program the first time they skated that one, too.
I was about to say, I felt the same the first time I watched it, thinking, okay, I'm enjoying this. I'm getting into it. I'm not feeling as emotionally invested as last season's free dance. And then think back to, because we saw it when they debuted uh-huh. it at that Autumn Classic. I felt the same way about the free uh-huh. dance then. And it grew and grew and built and built. And I think particularly in an Olympic season, I mean, the choice of music is meant to, you know,
yeah.
grab your emotions. I do expect the same thing to happen here. And I mean, if come like Canadian Nationals, it's not happening, then I think it's time to worry yes. a little bit. But you got to give it time to, like, right now it is still about getting it out there, getting the elements done. And here there were definitely some issues and some yes. things that need to be worked on. In particular, some of the lift entries were a little rougher mm-hmm. than we're used to seeing from them. And that for me was the biggest thing, was like, that put your focus on fixing that.
Yeah. Because
the choreography is fantastic.
But the combo lift.
Yeah. The combo lift and the final choreographic lift. Yeah. The judges were pretty generous to GOE on both of them. I probably would have been a little harsher because they yes. both of them were awkward just getting up into the yeah. lift. And whether that means we need to change the entry or change the lift in total, particularly for like the choreographic lift.
There's no reason to have an awkward choreographic lift.
Exactly. I think both of those awkward lifts have a ton of potential if they can do mm-hmm. them well, but they do need to be seamless because yes. those were two moments that took me out a little bit thinking, oh, okay, we're a little shaky here.
Yeah. And that will be the difference when they're up against
yep.
the other medal contenders mm-hmm. because there are a lot of medal contenders.
Exactly. And I mean, even so, though, that's not, you know, anything huge. If you're going to make those mistakes, this is the place to do yep. it, where you're clearly the favorites coming in. But the rest, you know, choreographically in both programs, I think is so solid. And you can yeah. tell so much thought has gone into every moment of the choreography mm-hmm. of these programs that I don't think that's what needs to change, unless it's like the entry to a lift.
Yeah.
Just to make sure it can be more seamless so that we don't have that, albeit tiny, they were small for both of them, but that moment of being taken out thinking, yeah. oh, are they going to get that lift up okay? You don't want any of those kind of distractions.
Exactly. But I do think that, like their last free dance, this is one where we've seen it. I've watched it twice because mm-hmm. I also was like, I need to see this again. Yeah. How much do I like this? A lot is the answer. I like it a lot. But like the last free dance, I do think this is one where we're going to be finding new things to like yep. every time we see it
mm-hmm.
because there is a lot of depth and nuance to the choreography
yep.
from start to finish. These two are really good at hiding where their step sequences are, which yeah. is my favorite thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's so much going on choreographically that there will be, you know, more to discover with rewatches and with repeat performances. Mm. And, you know, as they grow more comfortable with the program, you know, they'll be able to imbue more meaning into yeah. it. It's not, you know, a big, flashy, showy program in a lot of ways. It's subtler.
They're doing flash in the rhythm dance mm-hmm. and they're going for honest emotionality yeah. in the free dance.
Yep.
But you can't be at, like, your Oscar-winning performance yeah. every time.
And also, you don't want to be at Autumn Classic. Like, that's yeah. not the place to have it. You want to have that build-up. And you like I said, if come, like, Nationals, I'm still,
yeah.
you know, not feeling it as much as their last two free dances, then I might be a bit more concerned. But I'm just ready to give it time to grow.
But also, Mary, we can't trust our opinion on Piper and Paul's programs.
I mean, that's true.
Because we're the only ones who liked Perry Mason.
Yeah, I was about to say, I still am a bit annoyed that they changed the Perry Mason program, because there was nothing wrong with that program.
It was a great program, just because other people didn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
I tweeted about Hitchcock era Piper and Paul,
yeah,
because that was like, that will probably always be my favorite era for them, because it was so out of the box and so weird. But yep, panels didn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so they've managed to find a style that is uniquely theirs and still a little bit odd and a little bit quirky and different, but that other people who aren't us and like the seven other people who like the Hitchcock program
and the Perry Mason
can get behind.
Yep, exactly. I think this was a very solid outing. Still things to work on, but they did what they needed
to here. September, they got time.
Yep. And then in second place behind them, we had Smart and Diaz from Spain, who looked really ready to go here, especially technically. And obviously, you can't really compare scores across competitions, but score-wise, they beat Hurtado and Kaliavin easily here versus Lombardia.
And I do think that they looked cleaner and more confident than Hurtado and Kaliavin did.
And I think it helps that Hurtado and Kaliavin are really pushing the envelope choreographically and music choice-wise, which I think is its own exciting route to go down.
Yes.
And it excites me, their program choices. But Smart and Diaz have gone a slightly safer route, but with two programs that I think are also really successful, but that they already know that they can be successful in, which means that already at this point, they're looking pretty ready to go.
I mean, Smart and Diaz also have the benefit of their wheelhouse being really crowd-pleasing, which is really important, especially in ice dance in the Olympic season, to have two programs that an audience can get behind.
Yeah.
And Smart and Diaz, that is their wheelhouse. Hurtado and Kaliavin, like we talked about last week, when they were skating, they've historically been more judges' favorite.
Yeah.
And Smart and Diaz, the more crowd favorite. And because of the route that they each have chosen this season, we might see that flip-flop a little bit.
I mean, at the same time, I think both these programs are really successful, especially when they can skate them confidently, which they did here. They're bringing back the Proud Mary rhythm dance from the last time this was the short dance requirements. And I think it's a really good choice. It's maybe not, you know, as out there and unique as some other teams, but there's a lot to be said for a piece of music that you don't have to edit because it already fits the requirements.
Honestly, I think that's the biggest thing for me with the strength of that program, because Proud Mary is the perfect music choice for this theme.
Yeah, again, you don't have to edit it, like,
it is
at all.
Entirely organic within the program. Everybody knows and likes Proud Mary.
And they skate it well. They're clearly comfortable with this music because they have already skated it in the past.
And they've done this pattern to this music, to this section of music, because, again, you don't need to edit it.
Yep.
So they're able to basically have 20 seconds of their rhythm dance done before they even start.
Yeah. And, I mean, they did keep even a lot of the choreography, too, which I think is a good idea, just to be ready to deliver technically without having to worry about learning choreography.
Because these two have a history of being very messy when it counts.
Yeah. Not here. And this wasn't a head-to-head. We'll see how that one goes. Mm-hmm. But even in the free dance, which is a new one to The Mask of Zorro, I think it's thematically similar enough to things they've done before where they still feel confident in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And no, it's not, you know, as innovative and as original as like Hurtado and Kaliavin are doing in the free dance, but I think it's a really solid version of what they're doing here.
Yeah.
And they skated it really well and confidently, and I think that will make a big difference if they can, you know,
continue that.
Yeah.
And I do think that it being a character piece suits them really well.
Yeah.
Love it or hate it, the weird clown program, I personally really liked it because it gave them an opportunity to really come out of their shells as performers. Mm-hmm. And anytime they've gone down the route of being more thematic and less character driven, mm-hmm. I find it's less successful.
Yeah.
And they found a way to do something that panels love movie scores. Yeah. They love them more than I think any collective group of humans should. Like, film critics don't like movie scores this much. But a panel loves a film score, but it still gives them the opportunity to play a really strong, well-defined character mm-hmm. that suits them really well, that a panel's gonna like. Yep. Clearly this panel did.
And I think we'll be crowd-pleasing enough, yeah. too, because, you know, they still have, you know, their sword-fighting moments and their romantic moments, and it feels, you know, like an Olympic program yeah. for a team who's, you know, just going to the Olympics, not fighting for a medal.
Exactly.
But just, we want to show off our best selves and get noticed.
We want people to remember us. How do you do that? You pick a song that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. In your rhythm dance, you have a lot of fun. You don't mess up any of your key points, hopefully.
Or just anything, technically, yeah. really.
So that you are, you know, solidly in the middle for the free dance.
Yep.
And then you go out and you skate well with a moment that people are going to really remember. That sword mm-hmm. fighting moment is kind of a throwaway moment. But when I talk to my coworkers, they're going to ask me about the sword fighting program, because yeah. that's what your average Olympic viewer is going to remember.
Yeah. I'm fascinated to see an actual head-to-head uh-huh. between the Spanish teams, because, again, it's different competitions, but even if they were competing head-to-head, Hurtado and Caliavin were messier technically. Yeah. I think Smart and Diaz would have come out ahead, but we'll see going forward if that continues to be the case. Who knows?
Why can't Spain have two spots?
I know.
They both deserve to go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I hate that only one of them is going to get to go.
I know. When are we revising how uh-huh. we determine Olympic spots? But we'll leave that uh-huh. for later. Third place here, we had Caroline Green and Michael Parsons. And I love these two programs.
They're
so much.
They're so great. I am so happy that these two finally have programs that are not mm-hmm. aggressively uncomfortable.
Well, and I think not only have they gone with, you know, themes of music that aren't inappropriate for a teenager and a man who's 8 years older than she is.
A teenager and a grown man.
Yeah. They have two really interesting and really different music mm-hmm. choices here. And they have consulted with non-figure skating choreographers, and you can tell because it feels totally new and different from what just about anybody else is yeah. doing in both programs. And both programs are totally different from each other.
These two programs are incredible.
Yeah.
They're
gunning for an Olympic spot.
They might get one. I would not have counted them in that conversation mm-hmm. before really this event.
Yeah.
But they came out gunning.
Mm-hmm.
They are both fantastic skaters. They've got programs that work,
yep.
that are unique, that only these two could ever pull off, that free dance in particular.
Yeah. Let's start with the rhythm dance, though. They're doing Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
And a lot of really fun choreography. I enjoyed both these programs at Lake Placid International, mm-hmm. but she had like a twizzle fall
yes.
in the rhythm dance there. And her twizzles were still the biggest issue element in
yes.
both these programs. It was not a disaster, but
If they had been better, they would have been second.
Yes, exactly.
So
definitely that needs work. But I think the choreography is just so intricate and mm-hmm. different. And again, I don't have his name in front of me, but I saw an interview with them where they mentioned, no, this is the choreographer we're working with who is not a figure skater.
Yeah.
Somebody from outside of this world who can bring something new to this program.
Somebody who knows what they're doing.
I believe it's Jimmy Manners. Yes, that was the yeah. one.
Jimmy Manners clearly knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they've put together two programs that take what makes floor-based dance great mm-hmm. and transferred it successfully
yep.
to the ice. Almost nobody is capable of that. It always goes poorly.
Yeah, they do, you know, hip-hop, like 80s hip-hop yep. pretty well here. It is really effective and a lot of fun in the rhythm dance. And then the free dance, just so many interesting shapes and movements that they have all throughout that entire program. Outside of the Twizzles, which is the biggest, you know, element issue that they had, the one thing that I think would make a big difference is just a bit more speed at the start of that free dance. They're really patient in a lot of the movements. Like, nothing at all is rushed here. But it does start out a little slow. And I think if we started out with a bit more speed and power at the start, it gets better by the end. But that would also help things like GOE, PCS to get them up there. Because I think choreographically, this is just
brilliant.
Brilliant. Fantastic. I loved it the first time I saw it. And maybe even more so the second time.
It's hard to compare because, like, Placid streaming was a disaster. Yeah. But I think that this was skated better.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not perfect, but better. Not just in the fact that her Twizzles were not a disaster this time compared to, like, Placid. But also in their connection to each other as well as the music.
Yeah.
Because it is so simple and builds so slowly at the beginning of the program that if they were even 5% less connected to each other, it would fall apart.
Yeah. No, I think, like, they've got the performance down pat already in both. I'm really excited to see where they can go with these programs and if they can, you know, push the podium. Yeah. And by the podium, I mean top three at U.S. Nationals, not
potatoes don't count.
Exactly. Yeah, this just a fantastic set of programs. And I'm so happy that they finally have two great fantastic programs, because they have always been capable. We just needed the programs to not make me uncomfortable.
Although on the U.S. Nationals potato conversation, if we take the two skates we saw the last couple weeks from these two and from Carrera and Ponomarenko, I know who I'd give the potato to.
Again, even comparing scores, these two came out ahead, albeit, you know, different competitions.
Different panels, so we can't compare, but these two are making a very good case that they should be at least the fourth best team in the U.S.
Yeah. Hopefully they can keep it up and we don't see any silly mistakes coming in.
I want competition for those Olympic spots.
Exactly.
Because right now I feel like I know who's getting them, but...
Yeah, make things interesting, please. Yeah,
even if you don't get it.
Just make it interesting.
Yeah.
Fourth place, we had Lejoie and Laga, who have... All of these last couple competitions for the last, like, year and a half, every time I watch these two, I think, is this going to be the week that Zach Laga is not giving his all in the facial presentation?
Never. Never and again.
I was about to say, I think this particular competition, I had the thought that, no, you know what? Maybe I don't have to worry about it anymore. That he is just now fully committed to the performance. And one of the most engaged men in ice dance in terms of facial performance all the time. It still amazes me because it did not used to be the case, but I am so happy that...
It was so recently that he was just the frame to Marjorie's pretty picture.
Yeah.
That's not the case anymore. They're sharing the spotlight now, which is a thing Junior Zach could never have done.
Yeah. And again, I think now I can just put aside those worries and just come to expect it from them, which is really fantastic, especially when... They're going for fun in both programs. And I think mostly succeeding. We had some more technical issues, particularly in the rhythm dance. But I think music-wise, it's just such a fun piece. And they are into it from the get-go.
Having the time of their lives in that rhythm dance. I do think the free dance was not the best we have seen this program.
Definitely, yeah. They kept the bird dance from last season.
Smart choice.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a smart choice, but it wasn't as strong as at Worlds last year.
I do think they were maybe a little nervous. Mm-hmm. They looked like they were holding back a little bit throughout the free dance, which, as much as it kept them off the podium here, even if they had, you know, really performed to their utmost capability, I don't think they would have gotten 7 more points.
Yeah.
So they were probably going to be off the podium regardless, and this is a good place to build from.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, they beat the other Canadians outside of Gillis and Poirier. They also put in some new lifts in the free dance, which is exciting to see. They've been doing the same ones for a while, and they're effective lifts, but it's good to see something new from them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought this was a decent outing, but it did definitely feel like, okay, this is our first outing. This is September. We're still fine-tuning things to get ready to really amp up to nationals and Olympics and Worlds.
Yeah, which is great if you don't have repeated programs, but I do. I always want a little bit more. If keeping your programs, your baseline has to be a little higher than what I would normally expect in September.
Yeah.
And this was better than they have looked in the past in September. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But I was hoping for a little bit more.
Yeah. And behind them, we had Soucis and Fieris, who I was just really glad to see them also without any silly mistakes.
Yep.
And just looking calm,
sure,
and
of themselves.
Yeah, and confident in both programs. I really especially like the free dance for them.
I am such a fan of the free dance.
Yeah, I think it's a great music choice. And they also have lots of really detailed, intricate choreography throughout that I think, I really hope that they can continue to build off of this. I'm sure they would have liked to have been closer points-wise to Lejoie and Legas since they want one of those Olympic spots.
Yep.
They are coming from a bit of a disadvantage here. But I think the programs are strong enough and they look so much more confident than last season that I really hope that they can also make it a fight.
I mean, this is mostly their debut with Carol Lane because, you know, they were with her and the team at IDE last season, but these two didn't really compete last season.
Well, and when they did go to World Team Trophy, it was with programs from before.
Exactly.
Edited somewhat, but not new Carol Lane programs.
I feel like I have to be very particular about saying Carol Lane.
Yes.
Because Carol Ann.
I mean, it's a team up that seems to be working all right so far.
It's a really good team up. I don't know what Carol and John and Eurus have done for them in the last year, but whatever it is working. Because I don't think I've ever seen them look this confident in September.
Yeah.
And I don't know that their last several programs have felt as organic and natural on them as especially this free dance does.
Well, I think as well, and it sucks because in a way I've gotten used to them making a major error every competition. And it's been a while since we have not seen them make a major error in one of the programs. And here, we did not see that. And even just that felt, okay, hopefully we've gotten that monkey off our back.
Yeah.
And we can just show what we're capable of. Because even if every other element and the performance in their skates were fantastic, if you make a major error, there's enough competition. Yeah, there's enough competition in Canadian ice dance that you can't go places.
Yeah. Exactly. And I do think that while I'm sure they would have liked to have been closer, they had a nice gap over the other Canadians.
Yep.
And they are also working from new programs where Lejoie and Legas have an entire season of competition.
Yeah.
Like, albeit not a lot of competition, but a little bit.
Yeah.
With this free dance. I could see them maybe not catching up entirely, but getting closer than they have been recently.
Yeah. And I hope that they do. I really hope that we have a fight, that it's not just, you know, a foregone conclusion of who is going to the Olympics for Canada and dance.
I think I know basically everybody who's going to the Olympics for dance once these last spots get assigned at Nibblehorn. Make it interesting.
Exactly.
Prove me wrong.
Yep. And then in sixth, we had Sales and Wamsteker, also from Canada. This was their debut of them competing while training under Scott Moyer. And I think it went pretty well for them on the most part. We tried to look up who choreographed both programs. It was mentioned in the commentary
stream
that Wing and Low did at least their rhythm dance, but their ISU bio has not been updated at all.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% on that. I'd be very interested to know, just because I think these programs are pushing them in a new and interesting direction. but they're not fully there yet. Yeah. Particularly the rhythm dance for me.
Yeah. I was not crazy about the rhythm dance as is. I think it's got potential, but I don't love it yet.
I really like what they're trying to do with it, which is go in a much more mature, like senior, modern direction for these two. I think that they have some moments in the choreography, which they sell really well and is a totally different look from anything we've seen from them before. And I think that's really exciting. We've talked about before, though, Billie Eilish, her music is so subtle that it doesn't really work that well for figure skating unless you can hit every single note and your skating can kind of stand on its own.
Also, it's not really a blues.
Yeah.
And so you have to like add in layers to try and force it to become a blues.
Well, and honestly, I wish they'd added in more layers because it's just so simple and subtle that you have to be a really like top of your game skater to.
And honestly, even the best of the best, I don't think can pull it off as effectively as you can, again, in like floor dancing.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Also, arena speakers suck.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, it's, I like the idea of what they're going for, but I think the choice of music is just
misguided.
Yeah, they have to do so much on top of it. Because there's not that much going on, especially in the first half with the Midnight Blues, that it gets better as, you know, we increase the tempo by the end and there's a bit more going on than the music. But even then, it's still so simple that it, I think they would just be better served by a more dramatic or even just like more of an orchestral sound, more sound to the music.
There is this style of music that is big.
Yeah.
And there is this style of music that is small.
Mm-hmm.
And small isn't inherently bad for a piece of music. I think most of the time, small is bad for skating. Again, unless you can carry it entirely on your own.
This is the kind of music that you want to listen to on headphones, not like in a club.
Yeah.
That's... And this is kind of, if you're going hip hop in this year's rhythm dance, you want to bring us to the club rather than like imagine sitting in bed with your headphones on. That's not the vibe we want to go for.
I mean, even if, so when Papadakis and Caesar on, for example, went very simple and stripped down with the spoken word in their free dance, most people hated it.
Yeah.
I...
Well, and even with them, I think the only reason it works is because their skating is strong enough and dramatic enough that they can carry that music. But they are carrying that the program. Music.
And even when we think that they carried it effectively.
Not everybody does.
Most people didn't. Mm-hmm. We were in the minority on that one, as far as I could tell. And this is kind of a similar concept in terms of how stripped down the music is. Did you really think you could pull it off better than them? Really?
Yeah, I just think Billie Eilish in general is not
It's not good skating music.
Yeah, that I would recommend to just about anybody. And it's a shame because I do think there's interesting things that they're trying to do in this rhythm dance in particular. Yep. The free dance is sort of more in their wheelhouse and I think is a more effective program overall. That felt much more comfortable and more... natural for them.
I do think that they don't quite get enough change in the music. It sort of builds towards the end, but I think it stays a little too the same, particularly because it's only at the very end of the program.
Yeah.
Again, to pull off a 4-minute free dance with one quite simple piece of music, you have to be absolutely incredible start to finish.
Yeah.
And I don't know that these two are there yet. I think that this is a program that might work for them in 3 years, but doesn't quite work yet. But I think it's much closer to what they need.
Yeah. They're definitely going to, they're pushing them outside of that comfort zone and taking them in a new direction, which I think is a good idea in theory. I just think how they're implementing it.
Yeah, the execution's not quite right.
Yeah.
We're trying something.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of what we talked about with going to Scott Moyer mm-hmm. as a brand new coach. It's a risk because you're trying to do something different. That's mm-hmm. why you've changed coaches.
Yeah.
But with an inexperienced coach, you're not necessarily going to be able to figure out what is the right new direction.
Yeah. And I mean, even with an experienced coach, they also might not be able Absolutely. To figure out. But
the risk is just higher with an inexperienced coach.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our final team here. This was the international debut of Lafon Fournier and Kangin Kam from New Zealand. And really exciting to see just more countries
Yay.
Joining the ice dance world.
They had options. I'm mm-hmm. glad they chose New Zealand.
Exactly. Yeah. He skated for South Korea with a previous partner.
Yeah.
And these two, I think, they train in Montreal at Gabois. They clearly have a good technical base. Mm-hmm. They're both really technically strong skaters. The matching is just where they are a step below all the other teams here. Because technically speaking, if you look at the levels, they did pretty well. But in things like the spacing between them, the matching free lines, the speed, there's still some stuff to work on, but they have a really solid base.
Yeah. They also have some really solid music choices mm-hmm. that helped them stand out in this field.
Yeah.
Which I think they definitely needed, in large part because the thing that I kept noticing was them having to search for each other's hands.
Yes, definitely.
Because you shouldn't even notice when they change hold or reconnect. Like, mm-hmm. it should just be something that's almost like, oh, that happened. When did that happen?
Yeah.
Whereas with these two, you can really tell that they're looking for each other,
mm-hmm.
which is very normal, a very expected part of the process of finding a new partner, but did stick out compared to the rest of these teams who've been together
for a long time. Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely, like I said, technically speaking, they have a good base, but it's the time that they really need. And I hope that they do stick it out mm-hmm. together for a while, that this isn't just a, hey, let's try and go to the Olympics. And if it doesn't work out, the partnership's over. Because I think they definitely have potential together and can be a good match, but we just need that time to know each other better so that we can make sure, you know, our lines are matching. We're not reaching for each other. The spacing between us is always consistent.
Yeah.
Just little details like that that sound small, but that make a huge difference in GOEs and PCS in particular.
And also for the average viewer, mm-hmm. it makes a huge difference in terms of how you feel about the program when it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't feel effortless.
Yeah.
And again, I said this in the last episode. We ask, was it the last episode? I don't even know. We ask skaters to do impossible things.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them live up to it.
Yeah.
These two aren't there yet. But high as those expectations are, I think we can see from their technical capability
mm-hmm.
and also his performance with his former partner that they will get there if they stick it out long enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I really hope that they do, for sure. All right, so that wraps us up for this second half and the rest of Autumn Classic. What was your highlight from this event?
This is a tough one because I enjoyed this entire dance event.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to give it to Green and Parsons
mm-hmm.
for finally living up to the potential we all knew they had with programs that don't make me incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, I loved a lot of programs here, but I think just the excitement of possibility with these two. We've always seen glimpses of it, but here I think they really are starting to live up to the potential that they've always mm-hmm. had with these programs. And I mean, got to give it as well to Gillis and Poirier. Yeah. I think both programs are really solidly choreographed, strong and ready to go. This first outing, the rhythm dance grabbed me more.
Yeah.
But it's entirely possible that next time out, it'll be flip-flopped.
Will both of them wind up on our season's best list?
Wait and see.
Either we will be so torn that we wind up with one each, or we definitively decide that one is better than the other.
Yeah.
Who knows which one that will be? Exactly. If that's the case.
Yeah, just give it time to percolate, yeah, both for them and their skating and for us as viewers. Again, this...
to grieve the loss, yeah, of both sides now, like we did with Vincent.
And that's the thing. As great as some of their previous free dances would be, I would be really disappointed if they went back to an, mm-hmm, old one. I'm excited that they're still doing new things.
And... I expect nothing less.
Yep. And I really do hope and kind of expect that the free dance will grow on me as, mm-hmm, both sides now did. Again, I was not nearly as high on it, that Autumn Classic, yep, 2 years ago, as I wound up being by the end of its run.
When our friends were tweeting about whether Toronto had issued a flood, yeah, warning when they medaled at Worlds.
Yeah.
We came a long way on that program, which is why I am keeping that in my brain, mm-hmm, remembering how I felt about both sides now in 2019. I suggest you do the same, because, yeah, programs take time to develop, particularly, mm-hmm, in terms of emotionality.
Yep. And then the weekly waxel was hard this time, but...
Because this dance event was too good and there were only three men.
Exactly. But we decided in the end to give it to the men's event not being an actual challenger event.
Cause... The implosion of that start list.
Yeah. It's a real shame because, I mean, it was supposed to be a challenger. We could have had, you know, people here getting... Uh-huh.
Donovan was supposed to be here.
There were a bunch of people supposed to be here getting your world standing points, but no, it wasn't to be.
Some of them went to US International Classic instead. Yeah. Which we haven't been able to watch.
Not yet. All those of you axing, we haven't even started watching. Yeah. So just,
because we'll see. We couldn't watch it live.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we get to it. But yes, competition, no promises, might start first before we get a chance.
Yes. All right. But that wraps us up for Autumn Classic. We still have the JGP though, even though we're putting a pin in US International, yes, Classic for now. All right, so thank you all so much for listening. Please let us know your thoughts about this week in figure skating at FlutzesCast@gmail.com. You can also follow us at FlutzesCast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for even more skating content.
Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/FlutzesCast for bonus episodes, and our merch store, FlutzesCast.redbubble.com. And if you like what we do, consider leaving us a review wherever you're listening. We'll be back soon with the JGP, but until then, keep a watchful eye out for those Flutzes and Waxels, skating fans.